I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I believe sanctuary cities is not lawful. I don't think they're able to do that. And so we're going to take a hard look at this. This one area we may take a hard look at is some of these cities have international airports. If they're a sanctuary city, should they really be processing customs into their city? I mean, seriously, if they're a sanctuary city and they're receiving international flights, and we're asking them to partner with us at the airport, but once they walk out of the airport, they're not going to enforce immigration policy, maybe we need to have a really hard look at that, because we need to focus on cities that want to work with us.
So you're saying that big cities that are sanctuary cities that have a big airport, they might lose their customs?
Well, I'm saying we're going to have to start prioritizing things at some point. Right now, remember, the Democrats are wanting to defund Customs and Border Patrol. Well, who processes those individuals when they walk off the plane? So I'm going to have to be forced to make hard decisions. Who's willing to work with us and partner with us? Once again, I'm not going outside the policies that Congress passed for me, and we're not trying to push those. But we're saying you got to partner with.
That is the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen, nominated to replace Kristi Noem. Still has to be confirmed by the Senate. But he raises a very valid point. If you've ever traveled internationally, you know what happens when you get to the other nation. They hold you and go through a passport line before you're admitted in the nation. We do the same when you come back to you and anyone else coming from another nation. But if you're a blue sanctuary city or state, are you letting these folks come in through your airport? The airport's not owned by the federal government. It's owned by the entity that where it sits, or it's divided. Lambert International is St. Louis City and County funded, primarily considered St. Louis City property. But if you go into Chicago, O'Hare and the others are Chicago, obviously. If they are an international airport, which happens with O'Hare and others, then they're actually deciding who comes in. This is in the face of ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement. And you could wrap into that Department of Homeland Security entirely because it's over it. Would we let a known terrorist come through an international airport and into our nation? The answer should be no. Not hell no. And yet we have, during the Biden administration, and this attitude of laissez-faire, we're just not going to bother worrying about immigration. Some we have turned back, even in the, quote, blue cities and states, as they come in, going through an international checkpoint with their passports before they step into the rest of the facility. They don't get past that point if they're not cleared. But if we know they're a terrorist, a criminal mastermind that's being searched for by Interpol and other agencies, we stop them there. We should. We don't necessarily. And if we are doing it correctly, fine. But the incoming Department of Homeland Security Secretary, Mark Wayne Mullen, if he is confirmed, says we will begin to look at those airports, especially in sanctuary cities and states. It is, dare I say it, it is common sense. You're going to check these people before you let them into your nation, much less to roam about your nation? Of course you are. You try getting into any other country in the world with a fake passport or with records that would pop up that you're wanted for numerous crimes or events and things of that nature, you're not going to get in. Now, some might escape from the U.S. if they know the marshals are after them for a crime and before a full all-points bulletin with Interpol and other agencies is posted, they get in because maybe they even have a dual citizenship with Britain or Ireland. Or maybe they're not even claiming a dual citizenship. They're just an American passport. But no one sounded the alarm that this person is wanted for a major crime or is wanted for a possible threat against others and possibly your country. Again, common sense. April 7, 2026. Glad to have you on board with Larry Connors USA. Let me take a moment to say something I meant to mention the other day, and I failed, and I meant to do it the first hour, and again, I failed. So many things are going on, but I'll take the blame. It's on me. I want you to know that once again, Newstalk STL has had a couple of finalists in the Missouri Broadcasters Awards. Each finalist is already a winner, either getting the winning position or second place. Once again, Vic Porcelli and Ken Anderson's program. Porcelli in the morning. Porcelli's program, Vic Porcelli and Ken, won a nomination. In particular for Vic for Vets in the news series category. They're constantly honoring veterans and reminding you of not just the greatest generation, but recent generations of vets and what they've done. And so for that, they became a finalist entry. They've either actually won or they'll be second place. The other is the Allman Report, which airs at noon on Newstalk STL. He did a report on the Minneapolis shooting, and his opinion commentary category is where that got listed. And again, nominated as a finalist. So congratulations to Vic and Ken and to Jamie Allman and his crew. I wanted to point that out to you, how the Newstalk family is being received, not just here, but across the state. With Larry Connors USA, you're going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. You're going to know more by the time we finish this hour than you do right this moment. And later, coming up, Artemis II, as they went deeper into space than man has ever gone before. Sounds like science fiction, sounds like Star Trek, but it's very real. Interesting observations that they saw from the other side of the moon, where man has never actually been able to watch it closely. They were 4,000 miles. That's just 1,000 miles more than from the East Coast to the West Coast, basically. That's how close they were to the moon. That's still to come. And there's something else that happened yesterday or the other day involving the Supreme Court and what we do about illegals. And this involved Trump wanting to deport illegals back to their country of origin. And of course, the leftists came out crying, oh, you can't take them. They're accused of child rape, murder, torture, and other crimes. But they want to cling to their legs, say, oh, they can't be sent back to their other country. They might be threatened, as if maybe they hadn't threatened American citizens and maybe done more than threaten, but kill, maim, torture. Not all of them. But it doesn't make any difference to the left. They don't want any illegal exported, deported, I should say, back to their own country. And they were finding that in the court. And, of course, they got that Judge Boasberg or Bozo the Clown to sign off on protecting them. Jesse Waters talking to Caroline Kennedy of the White House about the ruling from the court.
The Supreme Court just cleared the way for Trump to deport illegals even faster. The high court ruled that Trump can use the Alien Enemies Act to send Venezuelan gangbangers to a mega prison in El Salvador. This is a huge ruling in Trump's favor and a major win for the country. After, as you know, D.C. Judge James Boasberg ordered a stop to the deportations. So this is pretty significant. These deportations, Caroline, can keep going.
This is a massive legal victory, Jesse, a massive victory for law and order and for our constitutional republic and the sovereignty of the United States of America. We called on the Supreme Court to rein in these activist judges like Judge Boasberg, who was completely out of line in trying to say that the president didn't have the executive authority to deport foreign terrorists off of our soil. We have always maintained the position at the White House that the president was well within his constitutional authority to do so. And this decision proves that President Trump and our administration have always been right from the beginning. He will continue to utilize the Alien Enemies Act to remove foreign terrorists and Tren de Aragua members, vicious gang members from American communities. And because of this ruling, the United States of America is a much safer place. Our team will get to work tomorrow to deport these heinous, violent foreign terrorists from our neighborhoods.
Again, that's Carolyn Leavitt on with the Jesse Waters Show, talking about the Supreme Court ruling 5-4. Yes, you can deport them. Send them back to their own country. Who would have thought that you shouldn't be able to do that? Well, the left. The left. And they're not relying on law. They're relying on emotion. And that Judge Bozo should be removed, in my opinion. But he's still on the bench. And they got others like him spread across the nation. And every one of them, not just because I disagree with their ruling, but every one of them should be subject to an American litmus test, to be quite honest. Are you really an American? Do you really believe in America? Well, Judge, if you're all about keeping them here, open your home and let them stay in your house. I say that every time to the leftists who want to keep illegals in this country. Now, granted, not every illegal here has committed a heinous crime. They did commit a crime by entering our country illegally, but many of them have just come to have a better life. They're not trying to cause chaos. They're trying to assimilate, but they came in illegally. But I still ask every leftist who wants them, then open your door and let them stay in your home, in your child's bedroom. How about that? And not one of them will come forward and do it. And I know damn well Judge Boasberg wouldn't. All right. By midnight tonight, or sunrise tomorrow, in this part of the world, we will know what remains of the Iranian regime, the infrastructure, even the civilization.
This is a critical period. They have a period of, well, till tomorrow at 8 o'clock. I gave them an extension. They asked for an extension of 7 days. 10 days is up actually today, so I gave them 11, I guess, indirectly. I can tell you they're negotiating, we think, in good faith. We're going to find out. 8 o'clock Eastern time, and after that, they're going to have no bridges. They're going to have no power plants. Stone Ages, yeah. The entire country can be taken out in one night.
One night. And we've always known we could do that. And they know we could. So at this hour, no doubt there's some action going on and more will continue throughout the night. And by midnight, they will clearly understand Trump was not fooling around. He wants the Hormuz Strait open, but it's not just for that. It's to make the world safer. Trey Yangst.
The president in this post on Truth Social, though, says a whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again. And so certainly questions to ask the president today about the context of this post on Truth Social and possible plans for the United States and what the list of targets may look like and the type of munition that would be used against the Iranians if he moves forward with strikes against the regime. Again, this is the final moment here, an off-ramp for the Iranians. The president, it appears in this post on Truth Social, official is once again putting the most amount of pressure possible on the regime in order to encourage them to make an agreement. The sense that I got from the president is that he doesn't want to have to take this action, but he is willing to do it if the Iranians are still unwilling to make a good faith deal.
And again, the leftist media and the left in general, they continue to want to complain that Trump doesn't know what he's doing, and he's maybe even CNN raised this question. Is he mentally stable? They never raised that question one time. We hit Karg Island hard overnight. In Trump's statement, a whole civilization could die tonight. It's not what he doesn't want to destroy all the infrastructure. He's a businessman. He wants it in place so Iran can fully recover quicker. And he doesn't want to wipe out all the Iranians. And I had said earlier, I had no doubt that some of the Iranian regime will make sure that the resistors will be chained to the bridges and targets so they will die. And what are the leftists doing? One member of Congress from Arizona is introducing, or says she will, articles of impeachment against Secretary of War Hegseth, alleging war crimes and endangering American service members. This is an Iranian-American lawmaker. Where do you think her loyalty lies? In the meantime, President Trump has said, we need $1.5 billion to get our military back to where it is, and Major King agrees.
This budget is looking clearly at our deficiencies. While we're championing our military and its capabilities and this brilliant operation we just conducted to rescue our airmen, to be sure.
Yeah.
But we also have to be honest with ourselves about what limitations we have. So a $250 billion plus up in the budget itself is a down payment to do that. And then a $350 billion on top of that reconciliation bill begins to get us healthy. And we have to continue it over a 4 or 5 year period if we're going to dig ourselves out of this hole that we dug ourselves in.
Right.
It was the Obama cuts that did it, following our preoccupation with 9/11 wars, the budget control agreement, sequestration kneecapped us, and we have been trying to recover ever since.
Yeah.
This really puts us on a path to that recovery.
And that's what we need. And I said, Major, I so sincerely apologize. That's retired four-star General Jack King. Got myself right with the general. Coming up, Artemis II. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington, Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beall Roofing remind you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beall to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beall has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beall. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This morning, the Orion capsule is pointed back towards its home planet after an extraordinary flight passing around the moon.
To all of you down there on Earth and around Earth, we love you from the moon.
The views were spectacular. 4,000 miles above the lunar surface, right out the window, they could see the texture and colors.
I see a lot of these, what I would call brownish hue areas. There's a number of them.
The crew took time to name a crater Carol for the late wife of Commander Reed Wiseman.
It's a bright spot on the moon. And we would like to call it Carol.
Artemis 2 was out of radio contact with NASA for some 40 minutes while their signal was blocked by the moon.
It is so great to hear from Earth again.
Yeah, as you well know, once they get on the other side of the moon, we don't have direct communications. We've had that in the past with craft that we've sent around the moon, both with unmanned and manned craft. But then that 49 minutes, an anxious time, but everybody hoping everything's going just well. I know in the beginning, if you recall, I'm sure many of you do, in our early space shots, every time, especially if it's a manned flight, going around the moon and on the other side, we didn't hear anything. And fear would creep in, and uncertainty, and the relief when we heard from the crew members that they were safe and safely out of the dark side of the moon. This time, we were within 4,000 miles of the dark side of the moon, and they could see a lot that we've never seen before. And a lot of it, of course, is recorded. But when they get back, they're going to break it down in more detail and take a closer look at it, see exactly what it is. You have to keep in mind, the moon has already been pocked with various meteor strikes throughout eons, and in many cases, possibly saving us from being hit. And then the other side of the moon, of course, might have seen as many, if not more, so they'll begin to evaluate and what did happen and when. But NASA was so proud to make this statement.
Integrity, Jared Isaacman, ComCheck.
Administrator Isaacman, we've got you loud and clear, sir. How us?
I've got you loud and clear. Artemis 2 crew, we have a very special guest who wanted to be the first person to greet you after your return from the far side of the moon. Reed, Victor, Christina, and Jeremy, it's my honor to introduce the President of the United States of America, President Donald J. Trump. Over to you, sir.
Now, before we go to the Trump comments back and forth with the crew, it's to be expected. We've had previous presidents do it as well. And you do need to go back to the JFK days when he said, we will go to the moon and we'll make it a mission. And we did. And we've had two major disasters in the process of trying to do this. And we had one disaster that killed astronauts still on Earth when there was a fire in the rocket. It's still not as easy as a walk in the park. It appears to be that way, the way we're doing it now, and we have a lot more ability to do it now than we did in the early days. And we have computers which are way more capable of what they had then. And in many cases in the past, it was human math, and in particular, a group of women that were responsible for many of the calculations. And then, of course, we also had another craft not return, Apollo 13. Now, I'll have that as a future story behind the story for you. You might have seen the movie. And you cannot sit in that theater and watch that and not feel, even though you know the outcome is going to be good, you're just not certain. But then President Trump got on the line with them.
I really look forward to, when we can, I look forward to seeing you in the Oval Office. I'll ask Jared to bring you over, and I'll ask for your autograph, because I don't really ask for autographs much, but you deserve that. You really are something. Everybody's talking about this. And I look forward to having you in the Oval Office at the White House, and we will celebrate your incredible achievements and triumphs. This is big. This is really big stuff. The whole world is talking about it. And if you have the time, I will certainly find the time. I've been pretty busy also, as you know, but I will absolutely find the time, and we'll get together, and I'm going to be giving you a big salute on behalf of the American people and beyond that.
Thank you for that, Mr. President. And when you want us, we will be there. And thank you for your leadership. Thank you to Jared for his leadership. Really, thank you for taking the time out today to visit NASA. It's really special for us, but it's really special for the team on the ground. A whole team of people all around the world pulled this off. And we just want to say thank you to all of you for this. It is the thrill and honor of a lifetime to have been on this journey. Today was amazing, but this is... 3-year journey has been amazing, and it was made possible by the American people and the Canadian people, and we're so grateful to you all. Thank you very much.
He mentioned the Canadian people because we have a Canadian on board as well. That's Commander Reid Wiseman. The pilot, a black man, Victor Glover. Mission specialist, a female, Christina Koch. The Canadian, Jeremy Hansen, serving as mission specialist. Again, going deeper into space than we've ever gone before. And all preparations for us to return to the moon and set up a permanent space station on the moon. And so many headlines have been popping out on this. At one point, they had captured a moon eclipse of the sun, as they got behind the moon, and it actually blocked the sun, except for just the edges shining around. Now, of course, I can't show you the pictures here, but I strongly encourage you to watch and look at them. And get your children involved and your grandchildren. This will be old news to them in the future, as it was old news to us. As we first landed on the moon, many of us doubted, and some still do. But now it's, I would say for the most part, there are still doubters out there, but accepted. And now we've been on the other side of the moon, and Orion is heading back to Earth after that historic passage. They did have problems in the beginning, as we'd mentioned. And it involved something as simple as, do we have a plumber on board? They had a busted toilet. Yeah. I'm looking at a piece written by Louis Prada. And he said, Last week, I wrote about the highly advanced toilet the crew aboard the Orion spacecraft would have the pleasure of, his words, pooping into. Turns out it didn't last more than a few hours after lunch. Or rather, after launch. Or it could have been lunch as well. When it suddenly, the toilet stopped working. It didn't have enough water added to prime the pump. Thankfully, a quick fix, but it was not the end of the toilet issues. By day three, a vent line was used to dump urine into space, getting it out of the spacecraft itself. And then they also had to worry about the other issues. He said this was their Apollo 13 moment for NASA and the crew. But still, this was very low compared to what they were dealing with on Apollo 3. He said the stakes were very low, but still a fun critical thinking challenge. The solution was to rotate the entire spacecraft so the vent would face the sun, allowing sunlight to melt what the issue was, and that was blockage. So there's a clear solution that mostly worked. But they also did report a faint burning smell coming from the hygiene bay, the bathroom, traced to heating insulation. Again, nothing of that danger, but when you're in a small spacecraft in the middle of space, anything that smells like it shouldn't be burning is burning, then you get concerned. And now they're on their way back home after a successful mission to this point. But keep them in your prayers. We've got so much going on in the world right now. Astronauts in space, the Iranian issue, your personal life and family issues. And all of it is important to you, maybe not to everyone else. And I would say again, that's where prayer comes in or is needed. Coming up, a flashback when a Democrat said, if I'm elected president, I will bomb Iran. Guess who said that?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, before we started carrying out Trump's final ultimatum to Iran and the bombing that is going on or will be going on as we get word of it, and he had said frightening words. I will admit, frightening words. He said this could be the end of a civilization. He does not want to destroy Iranian people. He wants to destroy that regime, and he wants to destroy, if necessary, their infrastructure, so they have to finally give. But they've been busy killing Iranians inside their own border if they are considered to be too much aligned with the West. There was another hanging yesterday, a public hanging. The regime considers someone as a threat, and they hang them. Remember the 19-year-old wrestler that they hung because he spoke out against the regime? That's a life and death common occurrence in a dictatorship. And we have no idea how much of that happens in North Korea. And of course, many are concerned about how this is going to end up affecting them directly, stateside. Well, in response to us bombing Karg Island last night and more today and other points as well, and throughout the rest of the night up to midnight, probably Eastern time, if not Central time, and maybe beyond if necessary, Iran was threatening to expand the strikes across the Gulf. That meant its neighbors, even its Muslim nations around them, would be targeted. They've already done that. Now, in part, they would say they're going after U.S. air bases in Kuwait or the United Arab Emirates, but that still put those citizens at risk. They don't care. Life is of no value to them. But they also threaten we would deprive the West of oil for years. Well, first of all, we are not energy dependent on anyone. And geography helps protect us in many ways. And even from what we understand to be the longest range missile they might have. But those missiles can reach into Europe, hitting capitals across Europe, Britain, Brussels, Berlin, and others, and even Moscow, although I doubt they're going to hit Moscow. But when they say we're going to deprive the West of oil for years, many Americans, you want to fall back to, oh my God, that's going to hurt me at the gas station and at the food prices. And yes, there will be some pain along the way. can you not take a moment to review what was going on in our nation during World War II? Rationing of fuel. You could only fill up your car, and I'm not even sure you couldn't even fill up your car. You could only buy a certain limit on certain days. And I want to remind you of something else. While you're looking at, and for those who are going to blame Trump, this administration, or the overall government for what's happening with gas and oil prices, which in turn affect food prices because diesel fuel is also going up. And a lot of trucks deliver that food to your grocer. Look at the state taxes. Don't overlook how much you pay out of each gallon on state taxes. You know what your state tax is in Missouri? For every gallon you pay, be it $2.50 or $4.50, you're paying just under 30 cents a gallon. Just under 30 cents a gallon for your gas tax by the state. That makes Missouri the, among all 50 states, the 28th highest state gas tax. Oh, what'd you say? What? Oh, what about Illinois? Yeah, I do have Illinois. You want to know where they come in? Number 2 in gas state taxes. 66 cents per gallon imposed by your state. So if you're paying $2.66, 66 cents is going right to the state, where it's probably wasted in the blue city states of Illinois and others. Florida ranks 13th out of all the states. It's a little higher than I would have expected. It's above Georgia on its taxes and above Hawaii. Hawaii only pays 18 cents state tax. Florida, 39 cents. Indiana comes in fifth, 54 cents for state tax. Kansas, 25 cents. Kentucky, Louisiana, all in that range. Maryland, 46. Michigan, 48 cents. And up in Montana, 33 cents. You go through this list of gas taxes. These are state taxes, keep in mind. It's not just limited to blue cities and blue states, but a lot of it falls in that range. The fourth state paying the most taxes, state taxes for fuel, the consumers, 58 cents is in the state of Pennsylvania. So Pennsylvania coming at fourth in your most state taxes per gasoline. Well, what's number three? Washington State, 35 cents. And just above the District of Columbia. And you do know, I'm sure, what the number one state is. You're right, California. But do you know how much they pay per gallon in the state of California for gas? Just under 71 cents a gallon. So when you hear all these complaints, and a lot of folks are going to want to blame Trump for any gas prices increases, look at your state tax. What is your state doing? And let me repeat for you again, for Missouri residents, your state tax is just under 30 cents, coming in 28th out of all states. Illinois coming in number 2 of all states, behind California. Illinois State, Texas, a little over 66 cents per gallon. I think too many times we forget what we pay and we impose on our own people in our own states. I think you need to reconsider who's running your state, especially where those are so high, which normally would be in blue states. But when Iran threatens to deprive the West of oil for years, saying we're going to deprive the U.S. and allies of oil for years, they're not really going to deprive us. We're as close to energy independent as we can be at this point and going to be more so. Plus, Trump has made alliances with Colombia. Now they got rid of Maduro and we're getting additional fuel. A great, great benefit. I mentioned the fuel, diesel fuel for trucks. Well, of course, you also had to be aware of aviation fuel and the cost of aviation fuel. And the word is coming out already that there could be a European energy crisis. Italian airports have already started rationing jet fuel. That's in Italy. Planning a trip to Italy this summer? Jet rationing does not mean that the plane's going to take off with only a third of what it needs to get somewhere. But it means those airlines might have to cut back flights. All the Easter travel was properly accommodated. And there'll be priority for ambulance flights, state flights, any flight lasting more than 3 hours. But short-haul flights, they say, in Europe would guarantee less than an hour of operation for planes such as the Airbus A320 and Boeing 737. Less than an hour of operation? I don't want to get on a plane, a jet, that has less than an hour's worth of fuel on board. I've told you I'm a pilot. I have a multi-engine commercial instrument rated. And flying not a jet, a prop-driven plane, be it two engines, four, if I'm shooting what is called an IFR, I'm in conditions where I cannot see the ground or anything, I'm going in on no visual reference, but by meters only. I have to plan for shooting the flight, making an attempt to land. And if I cannot land, I must have enough fuel available for 45 minutes to get to another airport. I'm sure the airlines will be properly scheduling and everything. So I'm not saying you're going to be in danger, but just keep in mind, it will begin to affect some travel in some areas. The airlines, for safety purposes, will just cancel flights if they need to. That's assuming Iran can make good on its threat. And it's going to hit our European, quote, allies harder than it will us. And how great are they as an ally right now anyway? We've seen how they responded, NATO nations, when we have Spain, France, even Britain not allowing our planes either overflight, reference the Iranian war, or even stop for refueling. We are going to have to reconsider these alliances. And they're going to have to recognize there will be a reckoning. I mentioned earlier, there was a Democrat politician, a Democrat, back in 2008, who made a statement that sounds against the wall today against other Democrats is outlandish, but it was made by Hillary Clinton.
I want the Iranians to know that if I'm the president, we will attack Iran. Whatever stage of development they might be in their nuclear weapons program in the next 10 years, during which they might foolishly consider launching an attack on Israel, we would be able to totally obliterate them. That's a terrible thing to say, but those people who run Iran need to understand that, because that perhaps will deter them from doing something that would be reckless, foolish, and tragic.
That was Hillary Clinton talking tough back then, right? Well, that's what she says she would have done. And Iran, of course, is threatening immediate and proportional response against what we're doing to them tonight. Tomorrow on our program, we'll have a better idea what we have done or haven't. But some things you can clearly see. One thing that happened, Russia and China earlier today vetoed a UN resolution on the Strait of Hormuz just before the Trump deadline was to go into effect. The resolution was aimed at reopening the Strait of Hormuz, and Russia and China vetoed it. You know where their alliances are. And we also know where they have put some of their weapons and money. And that would be with Iran. This tonight is going to be a serious reckoning and reasoning. And it will take place overnight for the most part. Keep the world, our nation, our troops in your prayers. We'll be back here tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.